GoDaddy is offering one new or transfer.com for just $1.99 for the first year. Each new .com comes with a free instant page website and built-in photo album. So what are you waiting for? Get your website started today. $1.99 for a domain name is so cheap. Go to GoDaddy.com and enter code CRAPPINS at checkout. You will not regret it. Enter the code CRAPPINS at checkout, you guys. Okay? Love ya.
We were off last week, so yay, happy Labor Day. We're glad to be back. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, and I'm joined by Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Ronnie. Lishna Tova, all my Jewish friends.
Yeah, hell yeah, Judy. Hello, Judy Jew. And also, let's please welcome Matt Whitfield from Yahoo. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year, Jews. I just look like one, but I'm not really one.
Yes, and he acts like one, too, but I am the real thing.
This is only staying on my face for some reason, so sorry. I don't know what that's about.
Well, you have a beautiful face, Ronnie, so that's I'm perfectly happy to look at your lovely face in your lovely yellow shirt.
Please just stop.
Let's give a shout out to all our friends at Joker's Updates who are supporting this podcast. Thank you all for coming over and checking out our little show here about Big Brother. Gosh, we have so much to talk about, don't we, guys?
I am so pissed right now, and I tweeted, by the way, you can find me on Twitter at Life on the M List. I just tweeted, 30 minutes ago, I am done with Big Brother 15 after tonight's double eviction. I am done. There is no more point in watching this piece of shit.
Well, how can you be done with it? We still got a show to do.
Oh, well, I mean, I'll still watch it for this, but I'll be hating it constantly.
Well, we've mentally checked out. I'm not done with it, but there's nothing like losing the hero and the villain in one fell swoop to sort of alter the fabric of a game.
Right. I mean, have you ever heard, people get killed off on TV shows all the time and in movies, but have you ever heard of a TV show killing off the villain and the hero in the same episode and then having a show be able to exist without them? Because that doesn't happen for a reason.
You know, I was commending this season, actually, in my brain earlier this week, because I was saying what's been so great about it is that we have not a lot of players left, but the intensity seems to be getting, seems to be raising. And a lot of times with Big Brother, it has its peak in the middle of the season, and then it kind of just, falls apart for the last 4 weeks. But tonight was a great climax. For a 500th episode, which is what tonight's episode was, this is a double eviction. It was the 500th Big Brother episode. It felt very climactic. We finally saw the downfall of Amanda, but unfortunately we saw the downfall of Alyssa, and now what we're left with is a household full of floaters.
Season has felt like there have been 500 episodes, not the entire franchise history. I am done. I like that they have a bigger cast, and I, in theory, like that they have a longer season, but when you fill the house with this many idiots, and unfortunately when the final five are all floating morons, then what the hell is the point?
Well, it's such a roller coaster ride because this is the first season that I haven't been doing written recaps. I've just been doing video recaps. So I've actually been not watching the feeds, but I've been reading a lot of the live feeds this year, which I usually stay away from. And it has been so fun, and I can see how people get obsessed because I'll lay there in bed all night long and read about all these fights they're having and then all the hundreds of comments of people doing it. And so this week has been so up and down because we saw a lot of really great fighting. We saw Gina Marie telling off Amanda on the feeds, which we'll talk about. Did you guys watch that or read about it?
I haven't had a chance to really watch it. I read about it, though. But I think that, CBS did themselves a disservice by making this a one-hour episode. This is their 500th episode. They could have made this a two-hour episode because there was so
2 hours, Ben. There's 3 hours in primetime. Make it 3 full hours.
3 hours. Yeah, because you know what? There was so much stuff that happened, over the course of the week, so much fighting and so many, attitudes changing and things happening that we could have easily stretched this out for 2 to 3 hours tonight, and it would have been totally fine because it's the 500th episode. Why not?
Look, Ronnie just mentioned this, and you guys, if you haven't watched the videos from the live feed of Gina Marie and Amanda fighting this past week, it is epic in nature. It is delicious, and Ronnie posted both of the videos in a blog on his website, Trash Talk TV, and it also is posted on our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens, and you guys have to check out this blog and you have to watch the videos. It's about 20 plus minutes worth of content, and it is so amazing. And the fact that I'm rooting for Gina Marie in this is just so wrong on so many levels, but she really sticks it to Amanda despite the fact that she is, you know, a brainless moron.
It's odd how I feel like Gina Marie is strangely enough becoming sort of the new hero in my brain, you know, because she's an idiot. She has moments of extreme racism and now anti-Semitism. And she's also like a psychopath and obsessed with this guy that she barely knows. And yet for some reason, there's something oddly winning about her. There's something sort of she's so stupid that you can't help but like the idiot, you know, like she's like a big old golden retriever, you know?
Well, the fight was so good. I mean, she basically, everyone has had so many reasons to fight with Amanda and tell her to shut the fuck up this whole year. And no one's really done it. And really all Amanda did was smirk at Gina Marie, like give her some smirk, and Gina Marie's like, hey, use! And then it just goes downhill. She's like, what is your vagina, 30 pounds? You know, your vagina's as big as your mouth, you hoe! Yeah, why don't you drop your pants? You know, like you have been this whole season, you hooker. Yeah, I bet your mom's proud of you, you know, showing your titties all over the internet. You know, it's like, yeah! I was screaming up in here. It was really good.
That's good. That's like on par with some of our best fights from season 10 and season 8 and season 6.
And then this was the week of just watching Amanda cry, which was also just beautiful. Amanda, who's so mean and horrible to everybody, just all of a sudden being like, why is everybody so mean to me? I don't understand it.
The other great thing is she also finally came to the realization that people outside of the house, meaning us dedicated viewers, probably all hate her too. And that is the icing on the cake. To not just realize the people in the house all hate you, but to realize that the 7 million viewers hate you too. That's great.
Yeah. And by the way, for all you conspiracy theorists that said that the game was fixed for Amanda to win, obviously you're all wrong. But what I have to say,
I don't know how wrong they were, because they really tried. I mean, one of the big things also that happened on the live feed this week was, you know, that we saw the scene, they aired the scene where Amanda was pitching that deal to Alyssa to keep her. Well, Amanda went right outside and told everybody that, not Amanda, Alyssa went right outside and told everybody and was laughing that Amanda's so stupid. That she would think Alyssa would actually do that. Then Alyssa gets called into the DR, and she comes out suddenly willing to work with Amanda and thinking this is a great idea. So everybody on the, you know, on the feeds and in the comments and stuff are saying, well, see, they're obviously trying to rig it, because now Alyssa's suddenly going to work with her, and she thinks she's an idiot. But, right. You know, but then production ended up screwing her over, too. So maybe they tried to rig it. They just didn't do a very good job.
You know, if they did try to rig it, I don't think they tried to rig it because Amanda has some sort of pre-existing relationship with Alison Grodner. I think that they probably tried to rig it because they know that she's such a great villain that we kind of want her there as close to the end as possible to keep that interest going. Because, I mean, she is a great villain, and she only got, like, worse and worse slash greater and greater as the past few weeks have gone along. In fact, the past 2 weeks, because we didn't do a show last week, the past 2 weeks have seen the decline of the Amanda Empire. And it has been a phenomenal, phenomenal two-week span, watching everything crumble below her. I mean, why don't we back up to the beginning of this week, to Sunday's episode, which was primarily dedicated to setting up Amanda for her big nomination Blindside. What did you guys think about that episode?
I'm ready to go there, but I just have to say one quick thing based on the 2 points you said. I agree with both of the points that you made, but I also just have to say, don't you guys think that we're 15 seasons in? I understand that the workers on these shows and the producers and the editors, a lot of them rotate out because a lot of them are contract workers, and some of them we know, and the majority of them are amazing, but don't you think, like, the higher-ups on this show, like Alison Grodner, would realize 15 seasons in not to have so many fuck-ups? I mean, my God, it's like, was Helen pushed off that thing? Did they clearly tell Alyssa that she now needs to work with Amanda? It's like, they're not giving us loyal viewers enough credit, and that's what really pisses me off at the end of the day. You can go ahead and, you know, screw this game up, and, you know, you can have racist people, you know, wall-to-wall, but when you don't give us viewers enough credit to see the clear manipulations that are going on behind the scenes, it really, really upsets me.
Yeah, but
soapbox,
you know,
though, I'm done with my soapbox.
But you know what, though? I think there's some people who live for that. I think they love waiting to find the conspiracy. There are probably people up there right now saying that, you know, there was only one bone in Alyssa's pile of hay tonight, or saying that they probably intentionally made the maze impossible for Spencer tonight. Like, people love conspiracy theories, and this show gives you the most. And the funny thing is, this is really one of the most transparent reality shows on TV. I mean, there is a certain amount of manipulation that happens in the diary room, but we see the majority of the things that go on in this house. And you would think people would actually be happy about that, but it actually just makes the viewers more angry.
Well, a lot goes on in those diary room sessions that we don't see, because another thing that was happening on the live feeds, and you see, this is why it's dangerous to watch live feeds. Look how sick I am. Look.
Yeah.
Look, circles. And I know everything that's happening, because I'm staying up all night and day. I went on today, and I was like, hey, how come nothing's updated? What the hell? I was having a fit. But one of the things that was going on was Judd has been calling, has been screaming at production through the cameras and stuff, and calling some girl on the production staff an effing bitch, because they're obviously trying to rig it and bringing Alyssa in and all this stuff, and they're trying to force him to say certain things, and Andy's saying, well, I wouldn't say that, and they wanted me to say this, and I wouldn't say it, and then they keep cutting to Fish. So it's really funny now, kind of watching everybody rebelling or starting to rebel, because Judd looks at it like production got him kicked off. Which you can also say production brought your ass back on, too.
Totally brought his ass back on, because they pushed Helen off of that little block or told her to jump off, and then Candace jumped right off, too. So Judd better, you know, watch himself, because his ass is still in there and competing and actually has a really good shot at winning 500 grand because of the stupidity of the production team.
You know, I actually am getting a little over Judd. I kind of am starting to feel like he's a little bit of a belligerent asshole. I don't know. I'm just a little bit. I'm getting that feeling. I'm not totally over him, but I'm heading in that direction.
Maybe they're not showing us that. They're not showing us that on the TV show, and that's what makes this all so lopsided. Because on the live feeds, he's calling Alyssa a C-word constantly, and like, he's horrible apparently on the live feeds. But we don't see that, so it's really hard. You know, it's really hard blending the people that you're seeing on TV and then the people I'm reading about on the live feeds into consistent composites of people. I don't know what the hell I'm doing anymore. I'm turning crazy.
You guys, I really don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, but this really, and I don't agree with anything that Erin really did, and everything that she pretty much said and everything that came out of her mouth was pretty awful, and she's disgusting on various levels. But it really bugs me that she truly did get the worst edit out of everybody. I mean, yes, they started to give it to Amanda in more of like a joking way, but the guys on this show have also been disgusting. A lot of them have been misogynistic. A few of them have also been homophobic, and we really never truly did see on the CBS broadcast, which again, we have to realize so many more people are watching those than the live feeds. The live feeds are for the diehards, but the masses of America are seeing the CBS show, and they did not properly see the truth behind Gina Marie's disgustingness, the truth behind Spencer's disgustingness, and now the truth behind Judd's disgustingness. And it just bothers me that Erin is having to take the brunt of all of this when, yes, she deserves a lot of it, but these other people are assholes too. And the fact that, you know, it seems at this point that CBS is pushing Judd to win because, oh, he's like one of those swamp people. He's like one of those hillbilly rednecks that are so popular on that Duck Dynasty show. So let's hope that he wins so that we can bring him back for a future All-Star season. And it's totally effed up, and all of us can see completely. It's totally transparent.
Listen, at this point, though, I have to say the only one who I really don't want to win is Andy. I have grown to really dislike Andy.
Excuse me. Is somebody going to give me some credit?
Yes. Matthew, you are the best hateful predictor of all time. You hated his ass right in the beginning. We were like, that's not fair. And sure enough, there you are. And you know what? Another thing, that stupid Reagan. Shut up, Reagan. You know, if anybody out there knows Reagan, tell him to shut up for me. I'm sick of Reagan going on Twitter, sticking up for him. And he wrote this big thesis piece on how gays are, you know, blah, blah, blah. Gays get the bad edit and blah, blah, blah on reality TV. And he's sticking up for Andy. And you know what? You don't have to stick up for him just because he's gay, all right? How about you just stop? How about you put down the pride flag for a second and just start looking at this as a game with people? And let's stop separating ourselves just because we're homos, all
right? Right. And he also contradicted himself multiple times in that piece, too. And it really just drove me nuts. And, Ben thinks he's amazing, but Reagan sucks and Andy sucks. And let's just all agree.
Listen,
Andy is a floater. He's a sniveling crybaby. And if he wins the 500 grand, I'm so done.
Here's the thing. I actually don't think Andy is getting a bad edit. I think he's getting a relatively normal and perhaps even slightly favorable edit.
He's getting a great edit. Andy's getting a really good edit. He's horribly mean behind on the live feeds.
Yeah, and so, but the thing is,
Andy's a bitch.
But what I feel like the reason why I've come to hate him, which is probably the same reason for everyone else, is that he is, like, he's more than just a floater. He's like a tattletale. Like, and people keep telling him things, and he goes and tells everyone, and he fucks up everyone else's game. Technically, this is good for him. I mean, he's actually playing a good game, but it doesn't mean I have to like it. I mean, I find him to be so frustrating, and he's not, we've said this every single week, he's not tattling in this fun Dr. Will or Janelle Machiavellian way. He's more just like, oh my god, he's like, they can't know this. This is terrible for my game, you know. And I feel like it's the same thing that was with Amanda, which is that she didn't really own her bullying. You know, she would bully and then she would cry and then why don't people like me? And I feel like Andy is, you know, he votes people out and he cries, and there's something I find very despicable about.
Well, and the other thing is, it's like Zingbot came in and regulated Andy more so than anybody else by calling him a floater to his face and in front of his fellow contestants and our fellow house guests, and it's like, well, he really didn't do anything. He didn't step up his game since then. He just continued to be a bitchy little floater. And, you know, I wanted to root for him. Look, I don't want to be one of those people who's always rooting against the gay dudes on these shows, but the gay dudes they always cast on these shows suck. And this one especially, you know, he aligned himself with Amanda when she started getting incredibly awful, and he became her minion, even more so than McCray in a way, which was horribly disgusting. And then when he wasn't attached to Amanda at the beginning of the game, he was floating. After Amanda, he's going to float. And we also have to say that this Exterminator crew, I'm sorry, but this is up there with one of the lamest alliances in Big Brother history. I'm even going to say this, the Meow Meow would find this lame.
No, oh, God, no. You can never win with me if you bring Enzo into it. You'll always lose in my eyes.
I hate the Brigade. No, I think actually the Exterminators, believe it or not, I think they're actually a good alliance because they formed at the right time.
They did the right thing. I just hate them, but they formed at the right time.
I will give you that. I will 100% give you that. But here, they did the thing that I always say every single year, which is, why don't these floaters ever realize that they join together, they can oust the people in power? And finally, someone's actually done it. Unfortunately, they also ousted the person that we like the most, who is Alyssa. And so now I have to hate them.
Right, and then if you look at it for 3 weeks in a row, you lose Aaron, Amanda, and Alyssa, and as disgusting as two of those three people are, they made the show worth watching. I mean, Gina Marie is still a crackhead who's going to go off and, you know, she'll probably still give us a few bomb mots for the rest of the season. But at this point, to have those three mega players go out week after week after week, it's just so gut-wrenching.
I know. Well, really the only floater is Spencer, because Spencer hasn't won anything and he hasn't really done...
He is not the only floater there. The only person that's really left in this game that is worthy of the win is Gina Marie, which disgusts me to say this, but the truth of the matter is Spencer can't win shit, Andy can't win shit, Judd did win the POV this week, but he also was given a key back into the house, and I don't think that anybody that's evicted initially that comes back in ever deserves to win. I think they should only ever be allowed to play for second place, so you can't tell me that anybody besides Gina Marie or McCray is worthy of the 500 grand.
Well, you could actually still make a case for Judd, and you could actually make a case for Andy because Andy won HOH, unfortunately.
Andy didn't really win HOH. That thing he won was a piece of crap.
It doesn't matter because I'm just saying, you know, the point is this. We do keep on calling them floaters, but the truth is that they've all actually done significant things, except for maybe Spencer. But the thing is, their personality is like, they're like floater personalities, which is why it feels like it's a bunch of floaters, but they've actually done something extremely strategic in forming an alliance and getting rid of all the power players and taking over the game. So they really aren't.
Of the people that are left, if you were on the jury and you had an option of the people remaining in the house, I mean, for me, again, the only options truly would be Gina Marie and McCray because they have done a hell of a lot more. They've put their necks on the line a hell of a lot more, and I would want to reward that over somebody. Yes, maybe Andy did play a decent game because he aligned himself with a bitch like Amanda.
Oh, my God.
But I'm never...
Mama- Craig did was put his wiener in a bull dyke. All right, if you want to give the win to somebody who stands behind a fucking lesbian, just give it to any old umpire on the street. Like, why even bother playing the game?
And this is why we've missed you, Ronnie.
Yes, Matt and I are way too polite.
No, that's some bullshit. That guy has done nothing except sit there and look like Chloe Sevigny in that movie Kids when she had AIDS and was like dying in a cab. I don't even want to hear anything from stupid McRae.
Spoiler alert from the film from 1995.
I think the other thing is I feel like McRae has not showered since that first HOH competition when he was hanging on a thing getting sprayed with water. I think that was the last shower.
And also,
he showered in Amanda's tears all week because that was hilarious.
They were saying last night on the feeds that Amanda was giving him a blowjob and they left their mics on. They're so disgusting. They're just so gross. I hate them.
They really are.
Why is McRae suddenly off the hook? Well, I mean, I guess he won HOH so nobody could go after him. But you know they're not going to go after him. It seems like he's just totally off the hook. The only person anybody wanted out was Amanda. So I guess in that way...
No, they wanted Alyssa, too.
Alyssa, yeah.
They, on the live feeds, they were like... Even before Alyssa switched over to wanting to get Amanda out, the reason they really wanted to go after Alyssa, I think mainly because Alyssa started telling people that she didn't trust Andy, which... She shouldn't have trusted Andy anyway. And so when Andy found out about this, Andy then sort of, I think he started like a campaign against her. You guys can, on all you Joker's updates, people can correct me if I'm wrong. But so Alyssa, the thing is this, Alyssa's days were numbered anyway, even if she didn't vote for Amanda. So this was inevitable.
Okay, here's the problem.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that Alyssa could have done what she originally had planned. And in the end here, final stretch, really tried to make a girls' alliance because Gina Marie stayed pretty true to her. She could have put her up and didn't. And she could have probably talked Amanda mostly into it. The thing is, everybody knew that Andy was a fucking rat and Amanda would not believe it. Andy's admittedly a rat. Like, he came out of the closet as a rat to the other team and they're like, that's great, good job, buddy. Like,
the way this should have gone down is when Judd came back into the house, Judd and Alyssa were starting to have a little bit of an alliance. At that point, they needed to rope in Gina Marie and Aaron and lock down the four of them as the final four, and they could have controlled the house because Aaron is a good player, Alyssa's a good player, Gina Marie is a good player, and Judd is pretty decent too. So, I mean, that should have been the final four moving forward 2 weeks ago. Look, we can't go back there at this point, but the other problem here is, and I know I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but the problem is that dumbass McRae ended up putting Alyssa on the block against against Gina Marie tonight, and the problem there is Alyssa had, you know, mended fences for the most part with Amanda, and I don't know why he didn't show her some allegiance, because then McRae and Alyssa could have fought together to go final two by taking out each final member of the Exterminators. I think he made a huge mistake.
Did he assume that Alyssa backpedaled on her deal?
Yeah, he assumed that Alyssa was the one that flipped her vote, and he was trying to tell Amanda, I don't know that we can trust Andy, and Amanda was, she sealed her own fate. She just kept saying, we can trust him, believe me, I trust him with all my heart, he's the best, blah, 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 and so McRae listened to his girlfriend and trusted Andy, so when Alyssa got kicked out, he thought Alyssa switched.
But then why, when Amanda was kicked out of the house, she gave attitude to Andy right before she left, and she was like, dude, I'm really sorry. But McRae, did he not listen to Amanda? Did he not realize, like, oh, well, I clearly shouldn't be aligning myself with Andy. I should totally jump on the Alyssa bandwagon.
But the craziest part of it all is that when Alyssa finally got evicted, she thought that McRae was the one who was the vote that went awry.
Proving once again that this house will drive you all insane.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, it's a shame because McRae, if he had kept Alyssa off the block, one of the exterminators would have gone home, and then it would have been three exterminators versus the two of them. And the thing is, when you take out someone from an alliance, then things start to get wobbly, you know?
What should have happened is he should have put up Gina Marie and Andy, and they should have sent either one of them home, but preferably they should have sent home Gina Marie if they were smart, because Gina Marie actually does have a lot of legit wins under her belt, and I actually don't think that anybody truly hates her except for Candace, understandably.
Except for black people.
except for everybody
you know, Jews.
Yes, well, yeah. I mean, she has a lot of haters, but the point is this. She actually has a legit threat at winning the 500 grand if she gets to the final two because she does have significant wins under her belt. They should have taken her out because then you'd really have a house left full of floaters, and then at that point, you actually end up increasing your odds if you're somebody like Spencer, if you're somebody like Andy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, can I ask you guys something that I'm really wondering, especially after this week? What did Puerto Ricans ever do? I mean, when did that become a thing? Like, I've heard people being racist against black people forever. I've heard people being homophobic. I've heard all of that. But Puerto Ricans, like, specifically, where did that come from? They gave us West Side Story, you guys. Let's all jump off of their ass.
Are you?
Gina Marie was saying this week, well, first of all, Andy was saying, and this is, you can find this on YouTube, but it's one of the conversations they were having about Alyssa, because that's all they do is trash talk people, and which is horrible, right, you guys? But anyway, Andy was saying...
what are we doing right now?
And exactly. Andy was saying, well, you know, I look at the picture, you know, I look at the pictures of Alyssa and her kid doesn't even look like her. It's like confusing. And then Gina Marie was like, yeah, her kid looks like some dirty brown Puerto Rican piece of dirt. Really? I mean, that's like, how many tirades are they going to go against the Puerto Ricans? What did the Puerto Ricans ever do? You guys rent West Side Story. You'll forgive everything.
Yeah.
Do you always have to make a Broadway reference the way Ben always has to name drop?
I know. I haven't name dropped at all today. I don't have anything to name drop about.
Trust me, I'm sure in the next 20 minutes you'll find a way to squeeze one in.
I hope so.
Squeeze one out.
So let's backtrack to the beginning of the week a little bit. Let's recap some of the events that led up to tonight.
Which was clearly the goal was to embarrass Amanda on TV at all possible times.
Yes, and she did, you know, and she gave them a lot of material to do that. So Sunday's episode I thought was peculiar because we pretty much learned right off the bat that Gina Marie was going to nominate McCray and Amanda, and that was it. There was no question about it. And producers did not even bother trying to create some misdirection, create some suspense about who else might go up. The producers were like, these two are going to go up, but they don't know. And the suspense of the episode was wondering what their reactions would be like. And I was riveted. What did you guys think?
I don't know if I would use the word riveted, but yeah, kind of. I don't know. I mean... Riveting.
I was reading Facebook comments. I'm sorry.
It reminded me of the episode of Survivor Pearl Islands when Rupert was voted off. And it was pretty much announced early on in the episode that Rupert was going home, but he had no idea. And the whole episode was sort of like this big swan song to Rupert. And he was blissfully going into tribal council, thinking he'd be safe. And then the axe came down on him. It's a great technique with reality TV sometimes, where it's not so much about the result. It's more about how they're going to react when they are so incredibly blindsided.
But weren't you guys surprised that Amanda, I mean, who, you know, again, she's a horrible human being, but she's also pretty smart compared to the other...
yeah, she is smart.
...disasters in that house. So I found it really hard to believe that she didn't realize that at least these dummies in the house would still see her and McCray as a power couple and as a block of votes. And they made it this far in the game. The fact that they made it this far as the only remaining couple is insane to me. So the fact that that was a surprise to her is just crazy to me.
Well,
but again,
she had
a meltdown this week, so who knows what was going on.
Her social game went out the window. The moment that Alyssa became HOH, she won that endurance competition, and that Judd came back in the house, Amanda's social game just went right out the window. It was always sort of like on the line, and we always said that she was going to play too hard, and then she just went, she just lost it. She lost it.
Well, here's the thing. I take issue with anybody calling Amanda smart. People say that. That's like what everybody says. Well, Amanda's smart. I don't understand why. Amanda is so not smart. She's a fucking idiot. Not one of her evictions, the only eviction that she got that I think was actually helpful to her was Helen.
Yeah.
I mean, that one was legit. But the other one, and I think that was straight-up jealousy anyway. She didn't know if Helen was coming after her. But she's not smart. She's just a mean bulldog who wants to control everything. She didn't even care who it was. As long as she could say who was going to go out of the house, she was happy with it. I mean, think about every move she's made. She thought Judd was the MVP. She got him kicked off. That wasn't even true. She still doesn't even know that was true. She won't believe Judd. She hasn't done anything smart the whole time she's been there. She's just been
Howard,
a nasty
boy. What about Howard? Remember how she used to go after Howard?
Yes.
That's true.
Oh, and that was another thing in that fight. Gina Marie brought up the fact that Amanda told everyone that Howard said he wanted to fuck her up the ass or whatever. That was another cut to fish moment. So thanks, YouTube. Yay, YouTube.
Okay, so maybe Amanda's not smart, but I will say I think she's shrewd. I think she can read people pretty well.
She's a shrew. Take off the D and I'll agree with you.
She's a shrew and she's shrewd. I think she knows how to manipulate people to a certain extent. But her social game was her big.
Yeah, so did Osama bin Laden. He'd strap bombs to their children if you didn't listen to them.
Well, so Amanda would make a wonderful terrorist. So
replace those fake saline sacks with a nice nail bomb and win Israel.
They're probably not full of saline. They're probably full of, I don't know, like
melted Legos.
Semen.
Melted Legos?
Melted Legos.
I like pepperoni and semen the best.
Listen.
Just gumballs.
Yeah. She actually has like a little knob on her back. If you turn it, it's on her tram stamp. If you turn it, a gumball comes out of her nipple.
No, she has like a sleep number.
Just falls out like this.
She's a Craftmatic adjustable.
This is what it sounds like. She's like, hey, you want a gumball? That's, by the way, one of the most disgusting images we've ever.
I actually have a gumball machine behind me right here, and I'm too afraid to pick it up and put it on screen right now.
Yeah. Hey guys, look! I found her tampon.
Ew.
Okay, this got real juvenile real quickly. Anyway, the point is this: she's a disaster. She walks around in her underwear. And she bullies people, and then she cries about the fact that she's being viewed as a bully, and she makes fun of people. Her social game is just it's horrendous.
But was it her social game, or did she just really straight up lose her goddamn mind this week? Because Sunday night's episode was hilarious because she actually believes that Alyssa was bullying her and that she wasn't bullying Alyssa. And I know we toss around that word a lot and we'll not even get into our Real Housewives stuff here, but the word is used a lot. But I will say, I do think she was bullying Alyssa. And the fact that she couldn't see that makes me believe that she just truly lost her mind this week. And nothing to do...
The editors are so wonderful. Like, there's an editor who just hates Amanda's guts. Because out of all the chances that they've given Amanda and all the rigging they've tried to give Amanda, one editor just keeps fucking her over. First, she comes out and she's confused that everyone's booing her, which was beautiful. That was the best part of the night.
I love it. Second week in a row that we've had boos.
And wait, and did you also see how they were trying to, like, pump in some clapping, but we know that there was really no clapping going on in that audience?
Yeah, that was Allison's butt cheeks clapping together. But, she was, I don't even know what that meant, it was a funny image. Sorry.
And I can't, but, no, it's not a funny image, it's a terrifying image.
But the other thing was, she keeps referencing Bubby. Like, this is the second time that she's been like, well, you know, Bubby, maybe I shouldn't have been Bubby. Like, giving herself a laugh. They would never show that on the air. This is when she dressed like an old woman to torment Alyssa, and like followed her around pretending she was Yenta from Fiddler on the Roof. Sorry, Fagito Burrito reference, but she was like running around like an old lady trying to torment her, and it didn't make the air, and she thinks she's this hilarious sitcom star, and the editors are like, fuck you, we're not even putting that in, Amanda.
How funny is it that every time Amanda tried to bully Alyssa, Alyssa just would laugh in her face. Just be
and
like,
then go, is this serious?
Like, thanks for bullying me, but no thanks.
It's no
like
thanks. I would have taken you seriously had you not owned a One Piece. Sorry.
I sadly have to evict your taunting. Thanks, Julie.
But also, girls like Alyssa, like really gorgeous girls who take care of themselves and are really pretty and marry wealthy, are used to like homely fat chicks hating them. There's nothing you can do. Like, go to Fatburger, bitch. Get out of here.
I think that Amanda was basically reliving her high school. Like, she was taken back to high school. You could see all of a sudden she became that bitter outsider who was never accepted by the cool girls. And I think that was all dredged up by Alyssa. But what I also thought was funny was that Amanda was kept on making fun of Alyssa's like plastic surgery. She's like, how many doctors did you get to do that? Like, what's going on with your Joker face? Mm-hmm. Like,
yes, which is why I'm making fun of Amanda's looks. I want to make something clear. Yes, I'm calling Amanda fat, but I'm a fat person calling her fat. And let me tell you what, I'm offended. You know, it's like that chick from The Big C, Laura Linney, said, you can't be, like, you have to be, like, fat and jolly. What'd she say? You can't be fat and mean? That's true, Amanda. That was you the know, first you have season. To be
but the, thing is, but the thing is this, though, Amanda has had big, gigantic, ridiculous breast implants. So don't go making fun of someone for their plastic surgery when you honestly have two Mack trucks on your chest.
Can I just stop you for a second and say that Amanda is also in love with a 24-year-old pizza boy from Minnesota with a girl haircut. So why don't we just stop talking about Amanda's plastic surgery and talk about the men that she chooses in her life?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? She had an abortion right before she came into the house, apparently, according to this fight. So maybe she's still working that off, and maybe that guy like actually had a good job and stuff. You know what? You only have so many abortions before you realize that the good guys are jerks, too. Maybe a pizza boy would work out better. He'd at least probably try to take care of the baby.
Emmy, if you're watching this right now, one of our loyal listeners, Emmy, that would be the quote of not just tonight's episode, but the quote of the season of the TV Clique talking about Big Brother. So somebody needs to jot that down and go log into your Cafe Press account and make our thread list and make me a shirt. Make Ronnie a shirt.
Cafe Press. I've been out for 3 episodes, and I don't get to be this unfiltered and horrid anywhere else in my life. So, thanks for having me back, guys.
I honestly, I'm still reeling from that line. You can only have so many abortions before you realize that the good guys are jerks too.
We're all friends with that. We know how it works.
That should be like, you know, when Carrie Bradshaw would sit down at her computer to start off an episode of Sex and the City. That would have been a really good, dark one.
I couldn't help but wonder, how many abortions do I have before I decide on men?
Wow. Okay, I'm taking a look at the Twitter. I want to check in and see what people are saying here.
I want to bring up one thing that Miss Cleo posted on Twitter, which is another good point here. And it was something that I was talking about earlier about how much I'm angry with or how pissed I am at McRae for nominating Alyssa. I agree with Miss Cleo here, who's saying I think production expected McRae to win HOH, but they didn't have any idea that he would nominate Alyssa, because there's no way, after losing Aaron and after losing Amanda, that production wants to also lose Alyssa, and I think that they were thrown for a loop. I mean, I feel like you could read it even on Julie Chen when Alyssa walked out on stage, like, oh shit, are we going to have to really do this for the next three weeks with these bums?
Well, Tammy on Twitter says that basically he went with the majority. Second verse, same as the first. So he knew, he basically saw that the house was all against him, and he put up Alyssa.
They're already against him, though. That's what's so stupid.
That's the bad logic of it. He thinks he's going to endear himself. This is my least favorite move. When people think they're going to endear themselves to the majority by doing what they want, it never works. It does nothing for you.
No.
Well, the gingers are together, right? So you've got Spencer and Andy, who are the oddest couple ever, but they're together. So they're going to be voting against McRae. And then Gina Marie and Judd, do you think they'll stick together? There has to be like two pairs, right? How's this going to unfold?
I don't know. At some point, maybe.
Nobody can trust Andy. I mean, I think that is fairly obvious now in the house, too. Don't trust Andy.
I know.
Wait. There are some things on the Facebook I'm trying to look at. Kelly Big Red says, Amanda admitted that she dated Jax from Vanderpump Rules for a little bit. Oh my God!
That, by the way, is a full-on. Well, I was going to say it's a full-on lie because he's way out of her league, but then I remembered that he doesn't have a league. he'll date a pillow if he has to.
That guy will stick it in a water fountain.
But my God, like, between Stassi and Amanda, could you imagine?
No.
Listen.
Please don't make me.
She probably was the one who had to get that. That's probably where her abortion came from.
We know Jax is all about that.
Remember Jax banged up a girl, and then, right, didn't she have an abortion? Or she told him that there was an abortion, but she really had the kid?
Oh my God. Did she really have the kid on that show? Oh my God, I forgot about Vanderpump Rules. How could I?
shockingly, I don't remember the finer details of Vanderpump Rules.
Now this is just making me hope that Big Brother 16 stars the cast of Vanderpump Rules and The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. That should just be the entire
cast.
That would actually
be an amazing cast. It'd be amazing. So anyway, while Ronnie looks at more things, the other thing I want to talk about...
I'm getting sucked in. I'm like, you go, girl, you go.
The other thing I wanted to really talk about was how after Amanda was nominated, she accuses Gina Marie of being jealous of the showmans. She's like unable to see the logic that they're a duo that have to be broken up. Instead, she's like, you're just jealous. You're just jealous you don't have Nick with you right now. You're just jealous of us, which is my favorite girl defense of all time. You're just jealous.
Yeah, well, I have to say everyone with children, like the real ones, not the ones in the sink, like people who are actually parents.
Yeah.
Stop telling your children that everybody is jealous of them, because that comes from our parenting, you know? Whenever I got my ass kicked in school, my mom was like, they're jealous. Oh, really, Mom? They're jealous of a 300-pound fifth grader? Like, give me a break. They're not jealous. Like, you should have told me, they're mad at you because you're 300 pounds, you carry your books in front like a girl, stop doing that, and you'll stop getting beat up. Like, run around the block. You know, if my mother had been honest with me, I might be somewhere at 30-something years old. Instead, she told me everyone is jealous, and I'm walking around fucking paranoid everywhere I go. Every time someone's mean to me, I'm like, they're so jealous. They're not jealous. You're an asshole. Change your ways, and people will stop being mean to you. Mothers. Yeah. Shut up, Mom. Can you just tell I was just in Texas for a week? Mothers lie.
Clearly, you still need a few days to cool down after that fun trip home with the family.
No, it takes months. And then it's Christmas. Okay, Emmy says something really good here. Remember when Amanda said she was going to breastfeed and Aaron said, what are you going to feed it, silicone? Love it. Oh, and the other best line of the week was Gina Marie saying, when Amanda and Alyssa were going at it, she's like, these two are about to punch the plastic out each other.
Love her. Yeah. Oh, I did also like tonight when Gina Marie was saying something to Amanda, like, you don't understand what can comprehend in your head with your thoughts and the comprehension. And Amanda's like, that makes no sense. I was like, okay, point for Amanda. And then Gina Marie's like, yo, I may not be smart, but all you've got to know, I'm loyal. I'm loyal to a fault.
Wait, I actually thought that she was about, again, I'm sorry to keep bringing up our Housewives references and Watch What Crappens, but I really thought that the next line out of her mouth was going to be, we're thick as thieves, like Caroline Manzo. I mean, like, I she talks just like those kids.
And you know, that poof that she puts in her hair, that poof that Gina Marie puts in her hair, she really takes a lot of time. I watched her, like, shaping it on Big Brother After Dark once, and she was really concerned. She's like, is it perfect? Is it perfect? I need it to be perfect.
For Nick.
I'm like, I don't know if Nick really cares if your hair looks like a figure eight, okay?
I think Nick would much prefer a penis, so work on that.
Yeah, yeah, a penis that looks like a figure eight. Maybe that's how he shapes his pubic hair. Maybe that's why she does it. He has his hair in like a little bun.
No, he clearly, he goes bare. He goes bare.
Yeah, it's all smooth. Smooth, no stubbles.
Just how Spencer likes it.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Is it inappropriate if I make fun of a child molester? I think being a child molester is worse than making fun of a child molester, right?
Agreed.
Yeah, that's probably worse. So what did you guys think about the veto competition this week, which set up a McCranda showdown?
What was
it? Oh, it was so good. But there were bowling balls, and then
they put that hippo in a tutu and made her turn around in circles. That was best. I can't believe Walt Disney isn't suing her.
I was about to say, it definitely looked like there was some copyright.
Or Milton Bradley with the makers of Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Or the inventor of bowling for having their game sullied.
I wish they had gone all the way and just made it a Hungry Hippos and just thrown gumballs at it.
Right, thank you. Instead of gumballs, exactly. She wants a heavier carb. She wants a gnocchi. She wants gnocchi, not gumballs.
just full on quesadillas, just like a frisbee that shit into her mouth.
Here's some mac and cheese powder. Just pour it right down your mouth. Hungry, hungry hippos. Man.
We missed a very important week. I've been laughing so hard I'm getting snot. Isn't that nice? You guys want to make out? Mwah. So last week we missed a really huge week when Aaron got kicked out. We have to talk about that, right?
Let's talk about that a little bit, yeah.
Okay, you guys start. I forgot what happened.
Well, what happened was that Julie Chen confronted Aaron about some of the things that she said. She quoted, it was actually a surreal moment, because first we had the first booing I can ever remember of someone getting voted out of Big Brother. Then Julie Chen sitting there saying things like, shut up and go make some rice, or what were the other ones?
Okay, like? here's the point. What Aaron did to defend herself after Julie called out like three of the 14 million horrible things she said, Ronnie, she essentially blamed Texas for her being a racist, horrible person.
Okay, well, I was just in Texas. And let me tell you, bitch ain't far off. I mean, look, I'm not going to say everyone in Texas is racist, but you're definitely allowed to say more things there than you would here. I mean, you can get away with more things. I was at this dinner party of my... Oh, God, I hope not. I hope my parents do not choose now to start supporting my career choice. But I was at this dinner party of my parents' friends, and one of the guys, he's this really rich, loaded guy, started going off on all these offensive jokes. I mean, this guy went for 20 minutes on just every offensive joke. Like, one of them was, how do you get black kids to stop jumping on the bed? You put Velcro on the ceiling. Like, fifth grade, terrible jokes. What? I ended up just going out to the pool because I could drink his beer for free and stay at the pool. But they were just all laughing, laughing, laughing. So I'm not going to sit here and stand up for Texas because they're pretty full of shit in Texas. And Aaron kind of is right. But guess what? I'm from Texas. And when I have something racist and horrible to say, I do it on a podcast like a normal fucking person. I don't do it on national TV. I mean, what's wrong with you? You know, if you're going to be horrible, like, give yourself a platform to do it the right way.
Yeah, I think also Aaron was so shocked and surprised that she was sort of like scrambling or whatever, because she did sort of get her moorings a little bit later on, and she said, you know, I just want to say I feel really horrible, da da da. But then she again said, I'm just from Texas, that's how we do it.
No one understanding that they're on TV all the time. She looked completely shocked that stuff was caught, and then Amanda tonight's like, well, you guys haven't seen it. You know, I don't know if you guys saw it or not. Like, yeah, we saw it. You're on the internet, stupid. Like, everyone sees it.
I thought that Julie was about to read back some of her stuff, you know? Like, because Julie's like, she said, you know, you are aware that you were on the internet, and everything you say, you know, it goes out to the world. And then she looked down to her cue card, and I thought she was going to read about the thing about the Puerto Ricans and stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, here it comes.
She got off easy because Grodner had a direct line into Julie's earpiece and was like, don't grill my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that they were going to leave Amanda alone because they really haven't showed Amanda being racist on the show. They've showed her being horrible.
A bully. All they'll do is show her being a bully. They will not show anything else wrong with Amanda.
So do you guys think, do you guys think that... on finale night, after all the votes are cast and everything, and then they can start having an honest conversation, do you think that Julie is going to break the news to all these people who've lost their jobs, Gina Marie, Aaron, and Amanda?
Let me tell you right now, I'm already kind of checking out because of what has happened in the past 3 weeks. If they do not go for the gusto on the finale night and just ruin these people's lives, they are going to just be upsetting more and more fans than they already have. Because at this point, the only thing to talk about this season is how disgusting these people are and the fact that they're losing their jobs. If they do not, you know, bookend the season with Julie calling these people out even more than she called out Aaron when she was evicted, the season is a complete waste.
I agree. And the other thing is that it almost feels like they're building up to that, because every week, Julie says, now remember, since these are jury, they're going on the jury, they're still in the game, so I can't let them know about anything in the outside world.
It's giving me
almost
hope.
Almost as if they are really tempted to tell them that they've lost their job, but they can't.
I don't think they're going to. Julie Chen went on some late-night talk show the other day, I forgot which one.
Letterman.
And she was going off about Aaron and like how ignorant and stupid this young girl is, and I was thinking, you know what, Julie Chen, you fucking homewrecker, why don't you just be quiet? And she's like, I'm going to put my journalist hat on and say what I really feel about this girl. It's like, bitch, first of all, you're not a journalist. You're a host on Big Brother, and you're on some other terrible talk show that your husband put you on. So let's stop calling ourselves a journalist. And second of all, a journalist doesn't come on with their opinions and start bashing people on the show. Like, you don't see Ryan Seacrest, like, talking about what a terrible singer Jordan Sparks is, even though she is, you know? Like, he just shuts up and smiles.
Are you saying that Ryan Seacrest is a journalist?
Yes.
I'm saying
Ryan Seacrest is about as much of a journalist as Julie Chen is, and she needs to be fair, and she needs to not be out there like bashing people behind their backs, even though it's Erin and she totally deserves it. But the thing that bugs me about it is that she's going to let Amanda off the hook. She's going to let Spencer off the hook. It's all going to Erin, and Julie's going to go out on TV, and she's going to go down the party line and make it all about Erin.
I don't know.
All
I horrible. It's too much. It's too much of a great opportunity on CBS, on live TV, for Julie Chen to announce they've all lost their jobs and seeing their reactions. That being said, though, if Gina Marie winds up in the final two, I don't think CBS would be cruel enough to say, hey, congratulations, you're in the final two, you're about to win, but guess what, you just lost your job.
That would be awesome, though, because the other thing
I agree.
Gina Marie would just, you know, smack her hands and say, bring it, mommy, and yeah. she would say the 500 grand that she's going to win off this show after taxes is going to probably be like $310,000. That is more than that dumbass will ever earn in her entire life, so guess what, give her the money. She doesn't care that she lost her job.
Well, Gina Marie's the one who's saying that she's on N-word insurance, referring to welfare, so she doesn't have a job anyway. That's all bullshit that she had to fill out in the bio. You can't just say, like, I'm some unemployed, you know, ex-drama queen who's done, like, softcore internet porn shoots and am on the drink cakey commercials. Like, you can't say that. You have to say, like,
never
I'm
forget.
A pageant coordinator, which she's totally not. She's on welfare and she lives at her parents' house, so she already knows that. She'll be fine.
So, who do you guys want to win HOH? I'm going to say Gina Marie.
Well, wait, what were they doing? Did they already start the HOH game? God, this game.
I don't think so.
I just, at this point, it doesn't really matter. I mean, McCray's not eligible, right? Because he was just HOH. I want to see McCray get kicked off just because I don't like him. It's like, I don't think you could be mad at Bush, but think, well, I guess I was going to say you can't be mad at Bush and not Cheney, but I guess Cheney was pulling the strings, so it would be a bad analogy. But you know what I mean. Like, you can't defend the bad person and then suddenly be a good person. Get rid of him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to think in terms of who would make the week the most interesting. Maybe Spencer in a weird way. He might pull something funky, right?
I think it'd be fun to have Andy because he's such a little crying, sniveling bitch that he'd freak out and not know what to do, and then he would probably just explode and ginger ale and leprechauns would explode out of his body.
Well, yeah, now it doesn't matter as much, right? Because I'm sorry I keep wiping my face. I just feel like sugar is coming out of every orifice, like my eyes, my nose, my shit on my lips, something like teeth. But anyway, it doesn't really matter now, right? Because isn't this the week where they had the double eviction, but now they have that fast-forward episode, right? Mm. Don't they have that every year where they have, like...
Ronnie, you're making it sound like they know what they're doing as opposed to making it up as they go. So just erase that out of your memory.
Well, they're going to have the Diamond Power of Veto or the Pandora's bullshit, Pandora's box, and then they have that one where they go a whole week in one episode. Because isn't the finale next week?
No, we still have 2 weeks.
We have 2 weeks. So what's happening is we have an eviction on Wednesday. We have an eviction on Wednesday. I won't be here for that show. You have to do it. And then we have an eviction on Thursday, and then we have, so that'll take us down to 6 people, 5 people, and then 4 people. We're basically in the final run here. We'll probably have a loss.
Yeah, when it gets to this point, it basically just depends on who wins the competitions. It's not really about, is that right? I feel like that every year. It's like,
yes. More or less.
That's like every year there's a Sheila or there's a Spencer or there's someone who just can't win who gets kicked out. You know, it's like they obviously lose. And then it comes down to, God, who's it going to be in the final two? How depressing.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that there's any chance of them having a final three? Because this cast was bigger than ever before and they've also never done a final three.
I was thinking that. I don't know. We'll look at the numbers. I mean, look at the... Because they're going to be... So how many people are left now? You got the Exterminators and McCray. So there's 5 people. And then after Wednesday, we'll be down to 4 people. And then after Thursday, we'll be down to 3 people. And then on Sunday, we'll have a... On Sunday, we'll probably have a lost footage from the season. And then...
Oh, God, that'll be a gold mine.
It'll basically be just like a Nazi flag waving in the breeze.
For 60 minutes.
It's just going to basically be Triumph of the Will for an hour.
It'll just be like white people beating up Mexicans.
It'll be that Ku Klux Klan scene from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou.
This season has made me, I'm half Lebanese and half white, and now I'm all Lebanese, baby. I'm at the age where I can start growing hair out of my ears, maybe start growing some hair on my back. Screw you, white side. I'm getting rid of you. My mom was complaining all week about how white people are going to be the minority, and I was like, hell yeah, it's about damn time. Get rid of the white people. Screwed up everything in this world.
Yeah. So we'll probably have a
Lost... Enjoy your war in Syria, white people. Bunch of jerks.
And then we'll have a Lost... We'll probably have a Lost footage thing where they're going to sit around, drink champagne, and pretend to reminisce. And then we'll have the finale on probably the following Wednesday, that Wednesday, right? So it probably will be...
I think the finale is on the 18th or the 19th.
Which, yes, yeah, so that would be that next Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then they'll probably launch Survivor after it or Survivor before it. I don't know. That's what they've been doing.
Can we just bring on Teresa... Judice and evict her ass, and like in the end, like just make it all her losing. Can she just lose every reality show ever? That would make every reality show end up okay.
Well, I think I think the air has just been released from the season. Like it was so exciting getting Amanda out of there, and then we had and losing Alyssa. That was a tough blow. Because if Alyssa were still in it,
there's nobody to root for. I mean, that is the problem.
Yeah, because if we still had Alyssa, it would be a Janelle versus the friendship situation from season 6.
Do you have to bring up the friendship? The worst alliance in Big Brother history.
The worst. Speaking of pepperoni.
Well, you know, I think that there's something super entertaining about white trash bonding together and like just sticking it out together. I watched every episode of Alice.
All right.
What's Alice?
Oh my God! It was the original It's a Living. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't know what that is either?
It was originally titled It's a Swamp. So anyway. anyone have any final thoughts on Big Brother before we wrap this up?
I thought, you know, it was just such a sad... It was such a wonderful week. It was one of the most exciting weeks on Big Brother. Not tonight, but last night's episode of Amanda just crying was probably one of the best episodes I've seen. So for it to end on such a down note was pretty sad. But for the most part, good job, Big Brother. You had an entertaining week after a few weeks of bullshit.
Yeah, I think overall this has been actually a pretty great season. There was a little slow patch right in the middle, and now we're going to have a slow patch at the end, but they always have a slow patch at the end. That's just the way it goes.
I think it's been a fun season, too. I mean, it's been full of racist idiots, but I think it's been good. It's opened a lot of discussions. It's opened a lot of doors for people to call each other names on the internet and fight for 500 comments long. And at the end of the day, no one's hugging, no one's making up, and every race still hates each other. And I say, you know what? God bless America. Thanks, Big Brother. Thanks.
By the way, Entertainment Weekly, I was reading one of their recaps, and their recapper posted their idea for what they think the twist should be next season. And I thought it had some potential. And he basically said that everyone is told... Everyone basically comes in with a secret identity. It's almost like a murder mystery. Almost like Clue. Thank you for that.
The best movie ever?
That article that you posted on Facebook, I read that, and that was great.
You're welcome. You're welcome, everybody.
No, but so this guy, the recapper on EW.com said, tell someone that they have a totally fabricated identity, and they have to maintain that identity and not slip up, because if they slip up, then, you know, they lose half of the potential prize earnings or something like that.
Then they would all be competing for $4 after a day and a half.
And then the thing is that you tell one person that, but then the truth is you tell them all that, and they all have to sort of get through it. I just think that
would
be fun.
I think it would be fun to bring back former showmances. Clearly, a lot of these people that were in showmances have gone on to get married, or have children.
They're all gross.
Right, but Big Brother is built on gross contestants.
Gross.
So
I think that, you know, Entertainment Weekly is thinking way too hard, as usual, and I think that if Big Brother is smart, they will listen to our...
Zing.
Well, not really a zing, just like those. It's like it's too hard. You're thinking too hard. It's Big Brother. I think we had the best twist. Bring back everybody's parents and watch old people duke it out.
Yeah.
Right.
And I say, if anything, bring back MVP. That was their best twist in years.
And keep it. Keep it going.
Keep it going all the way through.
I just think that they should bring back Cowboy and Nokomis, and then I could just cry for all summer long watching them rekindle their bizarre brother-sisterhood.
Can I tell you something? I saw over the weekend, I saw a boat that was called Nokomis, and I was like, "Oh my God, it's called Nokomis!" And
There
everyone was
goes
like,
Ben with the
"No,
name dropping.
it was a boat. It was a boat dropping." I
We
saw a boat.
knew it was going to happen.
So everyone, I saw a
Ben is so
boat.
fancy, and Ben lives near a marina where they have fancy yachts, and he saw a boat that was called Nokomis.
You say Reno?
You guys, when I was in Texas, I was on Martin Luther King Boulevard. What? That's
Whoa.
right. Name drop. Name
Name
drop.
drop, name drop.
By the way, I'm surprised they allowed that in Texas.
I know. I'm surprised it wasn't like Robert E. Lee Highway, Yeehaw. You take the
Or,
Yeehaw exit.
yeah, Boss Hog Avenue.
Martin Luther King is Dead Boulevard, yay.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think it was called Birth of a Nation Avenue.
You guys, it's so nice in life to find other terrible people to hang out with. Usually it's just me making people mad at Starbucks, but here have you guys. Hugs.
Hugs,
Well,
virtual hugs.
I hope we haven't offended too many people with our little show tonight. I'm cracking up. We've covered everything. Abortions, racism.
Yeah, I think so.
Wait.
So everybody, oh, you want to say something else? Should I say bye?
No, Manolet Carrera on our Watch for Crappens page says,
Mamalay, you're hot.
I think they should just have a BB Porn Stars edition. They'd make a lot of money on the live feeds for sure.
Ooh, yeah, they would totally bring back Stephen Daigle.
Oh, have you seen any of his porn? He's
Yeah, it's not good.
ridiculous.
It's
It's
not good.
embarrassing. I can't even
It's
watch it. My
it is embarrassing.
penis inverts when it comes on. He's like, Really, please make him stop. Make him stop.
Please, you stop.
What a waste of working out that guy is. All right, well, everybody, thanks so much for joining us for the TV Click Big Brother podcast. We are every Thursday night, except when we don't feel like it, apparently, 7:30 Pacific time on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is Watch What Crappens because that's our other podcast, which is on Tuesdays at 4:30 Pacific time. And you can always find us on our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/thetvclick. You can find me, Ronnie Karam, at trashtalktv.com. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/trashtalktv, but TV is spelled TEEVEE, and I'm on Instagram at trashtalktv. Ben is at B-Side Blog, bsideblog.com. You can find him at B-Side Blog on Instagram, Vine, Twitter, every place, Facebook. You can find Matt at Life on the M List everywhere. M List. Life on the M List everywhere on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everything, you guys. So find us. Follow us. We love you. We'll see you next
And
Thursday. And what else?
if we've offended you, then maybe you should buy a domain name and start a hate site about us. And if you use the promo code Crappens on GoDaddy.com, you can buy a .com for a year for $2, which, by the way, is a really good deal. And I'm not just saying that because we are hawking it. It's actually a good deal. $2 for a domain name. So start your hate blog about us or your love blog.
Ben has to be the nice one. My whole thing is, if we've offended you, go F yourself. Good night.
GoDaddy is offering one new or transfer.com for just $1.99 for the first year. Each new.com comes with a free instant page website and built-in photo album. So what are you waiting for? Get your website started today. $1.99 for a domain name is so cheap. Go to GoDaddy.com and enter code Crappens at checkout. You will not regret it. Enter the code Crappens at checkout, you guys. Okay? Love ya.
To the insurance company that spurned me, our time together has come to an end. It's not me, it's you. We both know what I'm talking about. 15 minutes ago, I began courting Geico. It was just the easiest thing I've done since buttering my biscuit at breakfast. Not only have I saved hundreds of dollars on my car insurance, but also the future tears you were sure to impose. My heart and my coverage now belong to Geico. Sincerely, not yours, Tara in Telluride.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.